CliffCentral.com.
Old school, and if you're wondering why I played that, that's because they were in Cape Town over the weekend. A friend of mine went to go and see them, and she said they were awesome. But then, you know, if you liked 80s, 90s music, then it's awesome, no matter how old you get, and no matter how old they get.
Yeah.
You'll overlook everything.
Yeah. You'll let them wheel the person on stage, and you'll just enjoy.
You're talking about music and a bit of throwback as well. Mm-hmm. Askies, if you are into Guns N' Roses.
Oh, shit. They're coming to South Africa, but didn't Axl collapse or something?
Just this past weekend, Axl Rose.
This is bad news for Boney M fans who are waiting for the 24th of December, because so far the news isn't good.
TikTok goes the clock. Yeah. Axl Rose cut a show short over the weekend because he is severely ill. That's all that his team are saying thus far. In a footage of the show, it was filmed by someone in the audience. The lead singer can be heard saying that they've got me on IVs and a bunch of injections because I got sick today. I've been throwing up for the last 5 hours, so instead of cancelling, I'm going to do the best show we can. And yeah, the band performed nearly 20 songs before ending the show. Hey, if you're a fan, 20 songs, that's might be enough, I guess. And then Duff from the band after the show tweeted, "Thank you, Abu Dhabi. Axl Rose pulled a damn miracle. The man was beyond ill and pulled off something I've never seen in my 40 years of playing. You all pulled him through until next time." But right now, it doesn't look like that one night only happening this Thursday, the 29th of November at F&B Stadium. Oh. That's all still up in the air.
People have been waiting.
So, got me on IVs and a bunch of injections because I got sick today and been throwing up for about the last 5 hours. So, instead of cancel, I'm going to do the best show we can for you, and I'm not going to worry about running around. That's okay.
Wow. Brave guy. All right. Axl Rose is a bit of a nutcase, but that sounds
that's
like
besides
no,
the point.
Good for him. But so they're performing at FNB if it does go ahead.
Yeah.
And then 2 days later is the Global Citizens, right? So it's all happening.
Right, F&B's getting its money.
Yeah. Soccer seat. Must be busy.
Yeah, 29th of November. That's in 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
Are you a Guns N' Roses fan?
Yeah, I think I am, but I'm not that much of a fan that I would go there.
It is so funny.
You know, yeah. Listen, I'm not the right person to ask, because there are fans who would travel across continents to see certain bands.
Yeah, I've got family members, really, who have had a son recently, named him Ben, and then his second name is Axel. They were looking so forward to this, and this is the first time hearing of it. I wonder what their reaction is going to be.
Oh, shame. See, it's interestingly enough, I was chatting to a friend who had scored tickets for the Global Citizens concert and has now given them away because he says, yeah, as much as I love the artists on the bill, I don't love them enough for the admin of everything.
Yeah, getting to the stadium, I mean, really.
And then there's no parking there, so you have to take shuttles.
The last time I went to FNB, that was for, I think it was either for Lady Gaga or for Justin Bieber. But the Bieber one, the only reason I went is because someone I know who has helicopters said they would fly me there by helicopter.
I remember.
That was a worthwhile reason to go.
Yeah.
Otherwise, look, I know it sounds spoilt and stupid, but I'm quite happy to listen to the CD. I'm quite happy to listen to the live version on Apple Music. Mm. Honestly, don't need to. Yeah. I don't need to be there. I've seen enough concerts of the people that I wanted to see. I've seen only band I haven't seen that I still need to get to see at some point, and they're probably going to die before I do is AC/DC, because they're my favorite rock band.
Yeah,
but I'll manage if I don't.
You'll be fine.
I'm not going to live with regret forevermore about missing them. I know Nola's a big music fan. You would go. You would drive to any show if they were a band that you loved.
If I had the funds, yeah, I would.
Yeah, I mean, who would you really like to see? Who's in your top three?
I know Judas Priest. They're
really?
Coming. Yeah, they're good. Black Sabbath, but that's no longer a thing now.
Well, Ozzy, what's your favorite Black Sabbath song?
God is Dead, Damaged Soul. Lord.
Is that the third one? Lord.
No. The end of the beginning. End of the beginning. Oh.
See, she has such weird music taste. Like, she would have to go to these shows because it's just unbelievable.
Metallica is an all-time favorite.
Yeah.
Ghost. Oh, right. Lord. It's very hard to choose.
Look at you. The only song by Ozzy Osbourne, by Black Sabbath, I'd want to see is "Finished with my woman, 'cause she couldn't help me with my life."
Why are you singing it like that?
Because that's how he sounds.
You want to go and watch my show? See me singing the song or something.
What? Nope.
That's Nola's favorite. Who's in your top three, Sia? You're going to see Beyonce?
Katy Perry.
God, how poppy is this compared to what Nolo chose? Black Sabbath, Judas Priest, yes, Metallica.
Actually, my top three, well, Michael has passed away, and I would have loved to have seen him, and I wouldn't...
I saw him,
you see. I did too.
I think, you know, all of the hype and just to, in his heyday, would have been amazing. I would have loved to see Janet Jackson in her heyday. You know, now she's dwindled a bit, and she's...
I don't know.
She's Muslim, so she covers up. Do you remember, like, Velvet Rope Janet Jackson?
I remember the album Janet. I knew every song on that album.
Like, that...
She was so goddamn sexy.
Mm-hmm.
That woman.
She used to pull boys up onto stage, yes, dry hump them. Those
she was hotter
Rhythm
than
Nation
hot.
Moves.
If you listen to the lyrics, there's a song called If. You listen to the lyrics of that song, it is just sex.
Mm.
Yes, it's hot.
Mm.
Mm. And she was beautiful.
Like a lot of Rihanna's songs are pretty much all about sex.
Well, yes, but let's just give Janet Jackson credit. She was there ahead of the time.
I'm not dissing her religion, but, you know, being Muslim has made her conservative.
Made her boring.
She now just sings very kumbaya songs. I'm not interested in that. So there's no one really who I'm dying to see. Beyonce, it's more like having a drink with her, not seeing her perform.
I got to see Linkin Park, so I can die peacefully.
And they were superb.
Yeah.
Are you a Linkin Park fan?
Yeah, my music tastes really vary, very, very much.
Well, you once played us that one song of you that you love.
Yes, the depressing one. Very depressing.
Yes, I did.
All right, well, I've got a song.
Okay.
It's not depressing. But they say it's the song that will make you the most calm of any song. Listen to this. Management of stress, balancing of different concerns and things in the mind is a skill everyone realizes they need to develop throughout their lives. People have to think about how much they have all of the things they need in life, need to stress less about work, school, or the things that make you unhappy. And some people feel like stress is just overwhelming, right?
Mm-hmm.
So people have come up with techniques and tricks that help them to cope with these things. Scientists have put out some research to several people, and what they've done is they've put together an article and went viral, and some UK researchers did a science-backed playlist of 10 songs they found to be the most relaxing songs of all time. Although obviously the accuracy of the study is bound to be limited because some people have a taste in music that's very different to others.
Yes, so some people might find panpipes annoying.
And some people might find them very, very soothing and anxiety relieving. Sound therapy, as it's sometimes called today, is something people have been subconsciously helping themselves with for as long as music has existed. Okay, but now they've decided they're going to do some actual research. The study was performed on some participants who were tasked with solving challenging puzzles as fast as possible while they were connected to some sensors. A certain amount of stress associated with any basic task that is produced by something like that then is put together with some music. And here's what they came up with. The song is called Weightless by Marconi Union. It's absolutely boring as hell. But listen to this. This is the song that will reduce all of your stress. Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay, just for you. This is apparently the song to reduce stress. 65% reduction in overall anxiety if you hear this song. That's what they say.
It's got a beat just like a heartbeat.
There are only three songs on this list that I actually know. I'll get to them in a second, but this is the number one. Right, so it's boring. It just carries on like this the whole way through the song. I mean, I'll fast forward a little longer. It doesn't get much better. This is kind of how it goes. And it's 8 minutes long, which is ridiculous. That's the song. Now, this is the chorus of the song. You like?
It's extremely relaxing.
Very relaxing.
If that was played in a spa and I was having a massage, I'd melt into the bed.
You'd fall asleep. Okay, so here are the other songs that made the list. We Can Fly by Rue de Soleil. Canzonetta Solaria by Mozart. Someone Like You by Adele.
Okay.
Never mind, I'll find someone like you. Pure Shores by The All Saints.
Oh, love that. Mm-hmm. One of my faves.
Please Don't Go by Barcelona. Strawberry Swing by Coldplay.
Mm-hmm.
Watermark by Enya.
Oh, but love me a bit of Enya.
Then a song called Mellow Maniac by DJ Shah. Electra by Airstream. And then this one, the number one song by Marconi Union. The most stress-relieving songs of all time. How do you like them?
Mm.
And then there's Nolo's favorite song of all time when it comes to stress relief. Do you want to hear that? Hey, Nolo, tell them. Here it is. Here's Nolo's favorite stress relief song. To everyone else, this is the opposite of giving stress relief. Love it?
Yes! Rock on!
Alright, very good. Yeah, now I'm stressed again after that other song. I suppose different music has different effects on different people,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, for sure.
You don't know for sure. I think everybody has their list of calming songs.
Yeah.
You might listen. It might be embarrassing.
Might be the wheels on the bus go round and round. Never know. I'm just saying.
All right. A couple of things I want to get to this morning. First of all, the most luxurious advent calendars. You know what an advent calendar is? It's that thing that you open up the little windows.
It's usually made out of cardboard.
Yeah, and you've got chocolates inside.
Yeah. But I remember growing up, they were exciting when I was growing up. They had special little presents behind each one, not just chocolates.
Yes.
And there was a lot of glitter, and you had to find the numbers. The numbers are not in order. Those are really cool. And I remember once saying to my mom, I had asked in the shopping queue, could I please have this advent calendar? And she said no. And I never let her live down. So now she buys me one every year.
Aww.
And I just open them all and eat all the chocolates.
All right. So tell us about some of these.
Yeah. So these are not with waxy milk chocolate waiting patiently inside. Advent calendars.
You get so excited about the advent calendars, you stumbled over every word.
Are getting really indulgent, expensive, and over the top. So these are the types of ones that you can get. You can get ones that have cheese and gin in them.
Ugh.
I like cheese. I like gin on their own. I don't know about
Imagine
the two together.
Ugh.
Sainsbury's are offering this.
Cheese
They're
and
not
gin.
Together, right. Okay? Right. You get a gin one for 76 okay. Or £60, sorry, mm-hmm. And the cheese one for £10.
All right.
Mm. I don't know. I suppose you have to keep the cheese one in the fridge, right? Hopefully.
Yeah. I mean, you don't want some runny brie or something and it's come pouring out of the door of the advent calendar.
Oh. Then you get a really big one. It's a huge box which contains 12 glass-sized vials of wine.
Mm.
And okay. So those are all different, 12 different glasses of wine.
All right.
You can get 25 shades of nail polish if you're a nail polish buff, and that's from OPI. It's all nail polish inspired by the Nutcracker.
All right.
You can get a Big Ben inspired chocolate advent calendar.
Yeah.
And it really is very big.
Yeah. You get these beauty ones where they have like a different fragrance in every little box.
Yes.
And they have that each day on the calendar is like a huge locker. So you get day number one and you open up this locker and there's like this packet of stuff.
That sounds very expensive.
Oh yeah, hell yes.
I don't know if I'm pronouncing this properly. Diptyque. They're sorts of candles, and very expensive candles made in Paris.
Hmm.
And you get ones with 15 mini candles in them.
Right.
But 7 of them are personalized fragrances for $425.
No, you get actual like lockers where people have different stuff in there. You might get a pair of shoes. You might get a, some kind of cologne. Get some skin treatment stuff.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
That's very exciting.
No, so you're supposed to
open up one a day in the countdown to Christmas.
Mm-hmm. Not like you did with you attacked all the chocolates in the first day.
Literally peeled off the front and had them all.
Yeah, we get an advent calendar every year. It's nice. It's a fun thing to do.
Yeah.
Okay. Apparently Cape Town has a problem with bees.
Well,
and not because there are too many bees.
Oh.
Yeah, not because there are too many. There's been an incident in which a million bees have just died in Cape Town due to accidental poisoning.
It's a bee holocaust.
Yes. It's happened in the wine-producing areas of South Africa.
What happened?
There's a poison called fipronil, which is used to keep ants under control. And it's actually been banned in parts of Europe. And it's highly toxic to all insects, and bees have been affected. It actually will impact honey production this year. So if you were thinking of giving people honey and that sort of thing for Christmas, some uncles and aunties will have to go without honey for Christmas. So further tests are being done to confirm whether this was to blame. Wine farmers and the government are working with bee farmers to tackle the problem.
Hmm.
So, yeah, it's not only one set of hives.
A million bees died.
Yes.
Jesus.
There were just a whole lot of beekeepers that started calling in and saying to say that they were finding dead bees in front of their hives.
Hmm.
Shame. It's quite scary. And we all know how important bees are, right?
Mm.
We wouldn't have certain fruits and vegetables if it weren't for bees pollinating these plants.
And, of course, honey. You know, honey is the only thing that doesn't go off.
That's true.
Ever.
They've found honey in the tombs of pharaohs.
It can crystallize, but it's still delicious.
I wonder what it is in honey that makes it so.
I don't know.
It's like a preservative in itself.
Doesn't go off.
No preservatives, nothing at all but fruit.
What?
Okay, you guys don't remember that ad. Never mind, I'll move swiftly. Do you remember that fruit juice ad?
No, as you said, let's move swiftly on.
Okay, let's move.
So where is the smallest desert in the world? Do you know?
I know where it is.
Of course you do. She's the nerd in the front of the class. He goes, teacher, pick me, teacher.
Miss. Somewhere in Africa.
Yes.
Sub-Saharan Africa.
Yes.
Thinking of like biomes and the climate. It is not in South Africa.
It is.
Oh, okay. I'm wrong.
We have the smallest desert in the world.
We do?
Tell us where it is, Leanne. Go on. Okay. Leanne Moll in the third row.
Yes, I know. It's in Port Edward, KwaZulu-Natal.
Oh.
The smallest desert in the world.
I'll show you a picture of it. If you Google it.
It's really tiny.
It's a very tiny little desert.
That
you could walk across it in a minute.
It just looks like a patch of land where contractors really got the roof wrong.
Oh. Exactly. I'm like confused because I see these patches of reddish sand often, even
everywhere.
In Joburg. Yeah.
So it's in Port Edward.
But it's called the Red Desert. The Red Desert, it's in the nature reserve called the Red Desert Nature Reserve.
Huh.
A surprising feature of KZN's green south coast landscape.
All right.
200 meters in diameter. So you literally do just walk across it. Deep orange-red sands compared to like parts of the Arizona desert. But it's just really, really tiny.
There's some shitty little desert.
The South African National Roads Agency has been working on building a fence to protect the desert, which forms a part of this reserve.
Hmm.
The whole area is biodiverse in flora and fauna. Really tiny, though. And according to the reserve, many archaeological artifacts dating back several millennia have been found in this desert.
Okay.
More recently, however, it's believed to have been occupied by a Zulu tribe in the 1800s.
Why did they choose the desert? There's lush forest all around the desert.
Yes,
who would want to
true.
Live in the desert? What's wrong with people? Desert? Especially a shitty little desert like that.
You can stand on the border with your feet on either side and go, desert forest, desert forest.
Right. Wow. Make a little game out of it.
Okay. Let's go to Inati on line 6. Hey, Inati, what's up?
Good, man. How's it?
Awesome. Go ahead.
Good, good. I called you the minute you said there's a small desert in Spotted One.
Mm-hmm.
I'm from that side. I want to know where it is. I want to see.
It's apparently just across the highway. You know where the bridge is to the Wild Coast?
Yes.
It's just over to the right of that. There's an actual nature reserve.
On the right, opposite the... what's that casino there?
Must be near there. It must be, yeah. Like the Wild Coast Casino, but just on the other side of the river.
Oh, okay. I never saw that side.
It's near okay. It's near the Umtambuna Nature Reserve.
Yeah, that's very close to home. Actually, it's literally a walking distance.
Did you did you make that desert?
No,
Have your cattle been overgrazing in the reserve?
I don't have enough of them. I only have four.
Hey, that's more than me. You got four cattle?
Yeah, I do.
That's pretty damn good.
Yeah, I inherited them because both my parents passed away. I'm the elder one, so uh-huh. They're mine now.
So you got four of them. Any females so that you can have more cows, more little calves?
Yeah, it's three females and one.
So, one male.
Yeah.
Do you have land or have the EFF got to help you?
No, I do have enough land. I don't want more seeds.
Okay.
That one is enough for me.
All right. Well, you've got enough room for your four cattle. Let's have some more.
So I don't have a problem with that. But there are people... That they want to claim the that casino, so they were moved from there.
I know. I heard about that in the news not so long ago. That Wild Coast Sun have had to give a whole bunch of shares to a community in that area.
Yeah. So there's that happening. So I'm one of the people who moved there recently. So no land was taken from us. So. I guess the people that have been there for some time would then benefit from that. So I'm not part of that. I don't know.
All right. So you're going to go and check out the desert and send us pictures?
Yeah. No. I'm going home on the 20th of December. So I'm going to have to go check that out.
All right.
And then I'll send pictures.
Thanks, man. Cool. Thanks, Inati. All right. Cheers.
All right. Cheers, dude.
There we go. Inati calling in from near the desert.
Yes.
How's that, huh?
Traveling to the desert.
Yeah,
I think it's so cool.
Tabo says that Anushka's questions to Sia are kind of alarming. She sounds like a human trafficker. Be careful, Sia. Matthew says, I'm watching. I would love to watch Skunk Anansi. That would have been epic. Ooh, you remember Skunk Anansi? Wow.
Yes.
She was, oh my God. Skin was her name.
Yes.
She was phenomenal. And then Jennifer Payton says, I would love to go and see Beyonce, John Legend, Maxwell, and J. Cole. But when Maxwell and John Legend came, I said to myself, I'd rather watch the DVD. Having to be crowded with other people just takes my anxiety to new levels.
Mm.
Well, now you know what song to listen to if you've got anxiety.
Yes.
But you see, to me, that's what makes the moment. Like, it is so corny, you could throw up. But there was this point at the Katy Perry concert when she was here and she sang Firework. And put what you think aside, but there's something about the lyrics, like, do you ever feel like a plastic bag?
Oh,
and
God,
everyone has their, like, phones up and the entire crowd is swaying together. Right. And I took a moment where I spun around where I was standing and to see a whole sea of people.
Yeah, you're right. Okay,
that's
fine.
The moment.
It's quite special.
It's worth the traffic there and parking so far away and you spend 45 minutes not remembering where you parked off the concert and trying to find your way. That's what makes it special to me.
And that the stuff coming out of their mouths isn't recorded. It's real. And you're hearing it for the first time from the horse's mouth, literally.
That's right. You're there. You're present.
Well, that's if they aren't lip syncing, unlike some
people. Yeah, there's a lot of that is recorded.
Shared experience. All right. Well, you know, some people should rather keep their mouths and their ideas to themselves.
Oh, like?
There's a pastor in, I think he was in KZN. He tried to emulate Jesus Christ, who fasted for 40 days and 40 nights in the desert. And this pastor, Alfred Ntlovu, has died of malnutrition.
Oh, my word.
After going without food for 30 days when he tried to emulate Jesus. 44-year-old pastor left home on the 17th of June for a nearby bush to have prayers, just like Jesus did. Attempting to equal or break Jesus' record of fasting for 40 days, he died just a month after starting his fast, despite having no history of illness. He was alone in the wilderness, and his body was found by a stranger who then called the police. He was known by his family and community at large as a very spiritual person whose faith could move mountains. Well, clearly couldn't feed him. And his death surprised everyone, even church members. How do you like that?
Yeah, you see, whether or not you believe in Jesus, you understand that whether he's real or not, or, I mean, he was real, but he's an historical figure, but whether or not he has superpowers, that's... No one else is going to be able to do that.
If he did have superpowers, you don't, is the point.
For sure.
Yeah, you just eat your food and drink your water and try to stay alive.
Climbing into lion cages, thinking that you're Jesus.
Yeah, we don't.
Those people who handle poisonous snakes and then they get bitten. And
they don't have fingers.
Oh, come on. There's always these priests, these very religious people who end up being killed in stupid ways because they think they're special. Of superpower.
You know, I saw a clip over the weekend at one of those massive black churches in America where now they've taken, you know, priests sometimes they take things to a whole new level. The priest now preaches with a harness on and he floats over the entire congregation with this harness on, and he extends his arms almost like an angel floating above everyone. I'm thinking, how did we get to this point?
Oh, don't worry. Some technical crew idiot behind the scenes is going to be like, his phone will ring and he'll let go of some pulley and the priest will come smashing down into some woman in the crowd. It'll be horrible.
And when is enough enough? Do the priests sit there and go, I want to look like the angel Gabriel?
Yeah.
I want to float over everyone.
It's marketing, from heaven.
Dude. You need to get the biggest congregation in your church so you can pay all those fees.
Getting malt tarts over Christmas is not going to cut it for my dad anymore. No.
Your dad better get an angel uniform and a harness.
If we're talking about technology, Elon Musk has now spoken out. Well, he's developing a new company called Neuralink, and it works a lot with AI. And he says, well, humans... just keep an eye out here, because very soon we humans could end up an endangered species. And he compares us to mountain gorillas. So he was speaking in a documentary. They called him as he's developing this new company that works with AI technology, and specifically because this company is working with trying to develop an AI interface between technology and the human brain. And he's basically saying, in the long term, you know, we could end up as humans not really having a role, and you think of the likes of gorillas who are being wiped out because, well, yeah, it's all good and well that gorillas are here, but are they adding much to society today? He says, as
How dare you? Gorillas add a lot. Elon Musk, who do you think you are?
Ask Ellen DeGeneres, who has a gorilla fund. Exactly. Sanctuary.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, shame. There we go. Well, look at that.
And you know, he's working on this. These guys are way ahead of themselves sometimes, and I like Elon Musk. I think he's very clever. But here's the deal. This neural... technological link. What he's talking about is that interface between your actual nerve cells, your neurons in your brain, and silicon chips. Very difficult to make that connection. It's going to take a couple of years. And it's not going to make us irrelevant anytime soon, because who's going to have to make them? Machines? Part of it is organic. Part of it's going to require us to actually get involved. So I don't think we'll become irrelevant. What we may end up doing is merging with the machines. Now, that'll be exciting. Imagine that.
Because that's what he swears by. He says once digital intelligence exceeds biological intelligence by a substantial margin, then it's bye-bye to humans. Elon, that's a bit scary. But then also staying on the AI front, hey, your technology, guys, is taking over slowly but surely, because the very first painting done by AI has now sold at an auction for 6.2 million rands.
So a machine painted this?
Yes.
My printer at home does that.
Yeah. How much can you sell those for?
Yeah.
Which is why I also don't understand what's the fascination. If you can copy this over and over again, is it really so special? Or does this person want to say, I bought the very first painting made by AI and I own it? Because it was sold at a Christie's auction, and this is nearly 45 times its high estimate that was put originally. This it's called The Portrait of Edmond Bellamy, and it's a painting that was created in Paris by an art collective called Obvious, and it was generated using an algorithm and a data set of 15,000 portraits painted between the 14th and the 20th centuries. But surprisingly, this isn't the first time AI is now dabbling into new frontiers of art, because AI programmed, directed, wrote, and acted in a short film recently. And also, AI is now creating hit songs. So,
sure,
could we see in the next couple of years, you know, Mariah Carey stepping aside in the Billboard Hot 100 and AI starting up? I don't
Probably.
Know.
Probably. Jeez.
If AI now, we heard in China a few weeks ago, there was a first automated news anchor that they were using in Asia, and now hit songs, now paintings. Who knows what the future holds?
I don't know. I'm pretty glad I don't have much longer left.
No, don't put it that way.
God, you're so pleasant to you're so
I don't know if I can deal with all of that.
All right. When we come back in a minute or two, we're going to talk to the people from Proudly South African. We've got a couple of really interesting people here, Nicole Virgos and Luke Baker, and find out what exactly it is that they do, how they contribute to the South African economy. We continue our conversations around Proudly South African's festive season campaign with a message of buying local, and we'll hear what these two entrepreneurs have to say about this. I'll tell you all about their companies too. All of that on the way, and a whole lot more. You know what to do. 0861-555-189 if you want to join in the conversation. And you're welcome to do that anytime you like. You can also message us on 079-748-2090. Alright, a little Prince. I love that guy. I'm more sad he's dead than almost anyone else. Is that normal?
Yeah, not really. I didn't get into him that much.
Yeah, all right. Well, you can be quiet for the rest of the show.
You can't not like me anymore.
Yeah, I can. You just be quiet, all right, for the rest of the time. So, we have been talking about for the last couple of days how important it is for us to buy more local goods and services and what an effect that would have on our economy. And we've been having conversations with people at Proudly South African about their festive season campaign with the message of buying local. And I thought we'd get two really interesting entrepreneurs in here this morning. Nicole Virgos is from Smergos, which is a wheelchair accessories design and manufacturing company. And Rick Baker is from the Active Factory. It's one of the leading toilet seat manufacturers in South Africa. So, Leanne, just up your street.
Lots of places to sit.
Yes. Wheelchairs and toilets. How interesting. But it is. So, first of all, Nicole, I apologize to everyone for the least wheelchair-friendly building in the whole world.
It's really okay. Thank you.
But thanks for coming up here. I don't know how you got up here. It's magically you were suddenly over here.
I just found a random guy.
God, that's incredible. Well done. Very resourceful. Now, let's talk about what you do. And Rick, feel free to jump in here, because I want to hear about what you're up to. I actually have some idea already of what you're up to, because I've seen some of your products.
Yeah.
But let's start with you, Nicole. So when you decided you'd come up with a line of wheelchair accessories, is this because you found yourself frustrated that you didn't have any of this stuff around and you needed stuff? Are we talking about bags, or what are we talking about?
Yeah, so it really did come about from a personal need. My business partner, Nick, who's here with us, recognized that I struggle to carry my belongings and push myself in my wheelchair at the same time.
Because you need both hands.
Yes. Oh. And
otherwise, you just go around in circles. It's not good for anybody.
So he thought a wheelchair bag would be the perfect solution. And then when he Googled, there was very little that he found. There was nothing locally, and the bags from overseas were very expensive. And that's even before you take importing costs into consideration. So I guess you could say he had a light bulb moment. He called me and said, it was a very cryptic phone call. He said, I have this idea. Meet me at my house at 3 p.m. And against my better judgment, I went through. And here we are.
You should have said to him, I'm in the wheelchair. You come to me. First of all, so is there a difference, a major difference, between a wheelchair bag and a normal bag? Because you would think, with the thousands of bags that are available all over the world right now, you could probably find one that would work for you. What makes these so unique?
So a lot of wheelchair users do end up using a backpack on the back of their wheelchair.
Right.
But the reality is that a backpack is not designed to go on the back of a wheelchair. Mm. So it often ends up damaging the wheelchair and also making it uncomfortable for the person to sit against, because it's pulling down the backrest. Where the way that we've designed our bags, they are specifically designed to fit onto a wheelchair. They fit along the frame of the wheelchair.
Mm-hmm.
So the weight is distributed there, and it doesn't impact the actual design of the wheelchair in any way.
And then the design of these bags, I mean, there's something special about that too, and you can get many different variations on that design.
Yes, we can. So we have larger bags that can fit on the back of the wheelchair, and you can put things like laptops, books. You can even take it shopping with you. Then we have smaller bags that you could keep more of your valuables, like your cell phone, wallet, and those can fit next to the side of you by your lap or behind your legs, so they're nice and discreet.
Other accessories you guys are busy with?
So at the moment, we're working quite closely with 3D printers. We're creating a cup and bottle holder that clips onto the wheelchair.
Brilliant.
We're also working on a zip tag, because some people have limited mobility in their hands, so it's difficult for them to grab a zip. So we've 3D printed a zip tag with a big loop that they can just easily put their finger in. Brilliant. And then open the bag.
I mean, it seems so obvious, huh?
Yeah.
My mum definitely needs, and maybe you could think of making one, is a wine holder.
Okay. I need one of those too.
Okay.
All right. Well, Rick, I mean, your idea, I think, is quite incredible. The toilet seat has remained so boring for hundreds of years. No one's really done anything to improve it. And you decided, no, let's make this a little more exciting.
Yeah, look, we have got a product that's got a glass insert in it to make it look pretty.
I mean, you could put, plastic fish in there,
barbed wire.
Yeah, those are your products.
They are our products. Yeah, it's a small section of our market.
For what is the majority of what you guys do?
We basically, our main market is high volume and a low margin, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
So we sell to the big wholesalers and retailers. You know, your CTMs and Massmarts and those types of guys.
Right.
That's most of the stuff that we sell. And then we also do custom designs. A big problem with...
You don't need those.
A big problem with toilets is that when the seat packs up and you can't find a seat, you actually have to replace the whole toilet pan.
That is so embarrassing.
Yeah.
I hate it when that happens.
Who hasn't broken a few toilet seats in their time? But you have to replace the whole thing.
Yeah, so
that's a monstrous. You need a plumber. You need a
exactly.
It's crazy, right?
So, yeah. So these costs are involved. So what we do a specific seat for a customer, and that's a section of a market that nobody else does.
What is that?
It's capturing a market where you can come to us and say, "Look, I need a toilet seat designed for this particular pan." Because you can't get it locally.
Can I come to you with a picture of the loo?
Yeah, we'll send you a schematic, and you'll measure it for us.
What measurements do you require? Leanne's busy taking notes right now.
Yes.
All right. So, what do you need?
Depth.
Do you need the depth, the height, the width, the circumference?
There are a lot of dimensions you actually have to take for it to fit perfectly.
Is it true, you're the guy I needed to ask this, and I've been waiting, this question has been unanswered for so long, is it true that they make special toilets for very, very fat people?
I don't think it's true.
Oh.
No.
I always heard that Luciano Pavarotti had an enormous, enormous toilet. And
he could afford a custom-made toilet.
And he needed a special size of seat. No?
Yeah. Somebody just said your whole size is too small.
Do you get different, how many different kinds of toilet seats are there?
Oh, there's plenty. We've probably got a range in stock of about 37.
Wow.
And you get different colors as well.
I've noticed that a lot of these upmarket restaurants tend to have toilets that are either they're black in color or they have a seat that's square or something. So they really are going in all directions because the toilet hasn't changed much for a long time and now suddenly it's changing a lot.
Yeah, I think there is room for improvement with toilet design as well, which I'd love to do before I pass on one day. I'd like to design a different toilet bowl.
The whole thing?
The whole thing from scratch. Yeah, because it's been going around for years.
It's such an ugly piece of furniture. It really can do with some improvement.
And just earlier we were talking about a gazander, which is that bowl from the 1700s.
That you'd shit in that and put it
goes
under
the
table.
Bed. Yeah.
That's great. So, Rick, this is fantastic. Do you know what kind of loo you have, Nicole? Have you measured it? Have you?
I can't say that I have.
So how have each of you been involved with Proudly South African? Nicole, do you want to start?
Sure, I'll start. So last year, Smokehouse entered into the SAB Foundation Disability Empowerment Awards, and we won second place.
Wow.
So that was a huge game changer for us, and it's really accelerated our growth as a company. So part of that, we won prize money and we also won mentorship. But SAB has also offered us a lot of extra opportunities. And one of them was to become a Proudly South African company. Fantastic. So when they sent us an email about it, we, of course, jumped at the opportunity.
What made you become a Proudly South African member?
Yeah, it goes back a little bit, Gareth. We heard a few years ago, probably about 6 years ago now, that Walmart is coming into the country. Mm-hmm. That deal took about a year or two to actually finally be signed by Massmart. Mm-hmm. And one of the conditions was that they would invest in local industry. And so when I heard about that, I thought, well, we are making products that are imported at the moment. And how we got into this game is that we couldn't actually find a decent toilet seat locally made at the correct price. So when we saw the opportunity, we went into establishing a toilet seat factory. And down the line, when we heard about this this initiative by Massmart, we applied to be part of the Development Fund program.
Oh, very good.
Yeah, which they took us on board. And through that, Proud South Africa got on board as well.
That's terrific. So how important do you both think it is to push for people to buy local? Because that obviously supports local industry, supports businesses like the two of you have, but also creates jobs, invigorates the economy, keeps the money in South Africa rather than sending it out into export markets or import markets, as the case may be.
Yeah, I think that people are always price sensitive, and they obviously should buy local. But both you and I know that our budget is our budget.
Yeah.
So the local guys have to be competitive.
Sure.
Price-wise and quality-wise, very important. And your backup services are important as well. And that's what we're focusing on, hence the growth of our company.
What's so clever about what both of you are doing is these are things that we use and we need every day, right? So the wheelchair accessories are obviously, that's a huge gap in the market that I can't believe wasn't exploited before. And even if it was in other parts of the world, it hasn't reached here, so you can make local products and give them a bit of a South African flavor as well, right?
Yes, definitely. And that's something that's very important, and Nick and I take a lot of pride in that, is keeping our products locally produced and employing locally employed, having locally employed people. That's something very important to us.
What do you actually make the toilet seats out of?
There's two products that we use. The one's quite exciting. I'll speak about this one second. The first one is we use, it's an MDF board, superwood.
Oh, right.
Yeah, and we cut the, we use a router, basically a CNC machine. We draw up the toilet seat, put it in the machine cuts it for you.
And then you smooth it out, sand it down,
yeah, it's
spray
quite a
paint it.
Quite a process. It takes 6 days actually to make a toilet seat from start to finish.
Leanne's got one of those old wooden ones with quite a lot of splinters in it. It's not very common.
That's the lid, Gary. The seat is well worn.
She made the mistake of not buying local, and that's what happened.
Yeah. Yeah, the problem is your plastic ones, they're the ones that really hurt you if they crack.
Oh,
yeah,
I can imagine.
So we don't do those.
No.
And the second product that we use is a recycled product. We use sawdust.
Yeah.
We mix it with resin and we put in a press at 130 degrees and 150 tons. Wow. And we put it in a mold and we press it out.
Huh.
And that gives you your
it's funny because that's exactly what people do when they're sitting on your seats. They sit there and they press it up. It's very, very exciting.
With 150 tons worth of weight.
And you do make those funny ones as well, right? Those gimmicky ones, the ones that people walk in and they think nothing special ever happens in the bathroom, and then they see the toilet seat and they start laughing.
Yeah, no, we don't do that one.
You don't?
No, that's an imported seat, and it's a high end of the market. People pay a lot for that, and really, it's not a high volume.
I think Leanne should get one of those recycled ones because that sounds a lot safer than the splintery old wooden one that she's got.
So tired of the splinters.
All right. So, what do you use? What sort of products do you use? What kind of materials do you use to make your stuff?
So it's very important for us to make our products very strong and durable, because these bags are things you're going to be using every day. So we use. Have a look.
Have a look. Is this one of the bags?
This is one of the bags that you can have a look at.
Sure.
So you can see that the fabric is very durable and very strong, and inside it's
and
also
it's
got
light.
Padding. Yes.
It's great.
Oh, so the attached bit becomes your backrest.
Yes.
All right.
But that is an optional piece. Some people don't like to have that additional cushioning, so that's why you can see we've created a zip that you can remove it should the person not want it. We've also included that additional shoulder strap so that, you know, if you have an able-bodied person helping you, it's very easy for them to just sling the bag over their shoulder.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Excellent, excellent stuff. Smurgos is your company, Nicole, and Active Factory is Rick's. And congratulations to both of you on, first of all, finding a gap in the market, exploiting it, doing it locally, and making your contribution to the local economy. This is terrific stuff. We like seeing this. This makes us all very happy, very proud.
Thank you for having
us. Very, very good.
Yeah. And Leanne's got a credit card here, so both of you need to...
Yeah, I need a bag and a seat.
You guys, if you're looking for us, you can find us on www.activefactory.co.za.
Right, activefactory.co.za. And where can we find you, Nicole?
So you can find us at smurgos.com.
smergos.com.
Yes, thank you.
Very good.
We are also on social media. Otherwise, you can email me at nicole@smurgos.com.
Very good. And for more info on Proudly South African, you visit proudlysa.co.za, or you can visit their new online store for only locally made products. Go to rsamade.co.za. What a pleasure to meet both of you this morning.
Are you also listed on there, rsamade.co.za?
Yes,
very good.
Because I was actually hunting down, since I have to redeem myself with my family, I was hunting on rsamade.co.za.
What did you find?
Well, I saw the wine selection. I think that's always good.
Peace offering.
Trust Sia to go straight for the wine. All right, but very well done to both of you, and thank you for joining us this morning.
This is no time for speeches. It's all about celebration. So we want minimal lyrical content, Mchana.
All right, so this one was definitely Leanne's choice for songs this morning. It's called Monati So.
I've got the whole album.
Sugar Smacks, huh? Yes, there's a proudly South African song. Boom, 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 boom. Proudly South African morning. That's how it is. Right, Sia, what did you think?
Sia.
What kind of a toilet seat do you want, Sia? What's going on there?
If there was one filled with tarantulas, I wouldn't be able to sit on it.
Imagine.
One full of
you know the resins, it's resin and then it's
But you know,
stuff
we
in
don't
it.
Think about the humble toilet seat often enough.
No.
Do we?
No, we think about whether it's up or whether it's down.
That's all we
whether
think
it's
about.
Clean.
Yeah.
Whether it's got pubes on it.
Oh, God. Really?
I was actually looking at, there was an article written about one of those fancy toilet seats in Asia.
Yes, now, the one there's that sprays up your asshole.
All of that, but now there's
right up there.
Just right in there.
And now there's one with this movable screen. So you're able to, if you were sitting watching series on your TV and you get up and go to
the can.
It can continue on. It's convenient.
Again, I do that with my phone.
So if your toilet seat, listen, this is really useful. If your toilet seat breaks or something goes wrong, you have to replace the whole pan, but not anymore, thanks to Rick's company.
Very good.
You measure it up, and he can make you a custom-made loo seat for your lavatory.
Once again, in 1916, we didn't have that.
No, we did not. You'd have to have taken out the whole thing. You heard him.
Mm. The only thing I don't like are the heated toilet seats.
You find that creepy?
Yeah, or it feels like someone else has been on there.
That's it. That's what I don't like about it. Just reminds me of someone else.
You're too spoiled and you live in warm climates. If you were in Antarctica, you'd want one of those. Trust me.
This is true. Yes. You would. Sit on it all day.
Great, but for now, no thank you.
All right, so if you want to know more, we will be talking to some of the other companies that are proudly South African and hear their stories. And you can be a part of that conversation with Proudly South African and CliffCentral.com over the next couple of weeks. Mm. Oh, it's been a busy day. RSA. And we've only just started it.
It's only Tuesday. Ooh.
Yeah. You were going to say?
No, RSA Made really is convenient because this time of the year as well, there's a bunch of different products. They even have pre-packaged hampers, gift hampers.
And there's so many people to buy presents for. Right? Madness.
Have you sorted that? Have we sorted that out yet?
No.
You need to get into the candle trend.
I don't give candles to people.
Oh, okay. You say this
should
now.
I? Nice smelling candle.
Candles are just easy.
Actually, I have. No. I did buy for my mom and my sister-in-law once. Those ones in the glass bottles that smell nice.
Yes.
Oh, bloody expensive.
And, you know, there are certain stores you can go to where you can choose your own fragrance for the candle. So you can personalize it and say, oh, I thought of you. Meanwhile, you just
chose from a menu.
Yeah.
Wow, look at that.
Put in some lavender.
Love. Ylang Ylang.
See, I loves the Ylang Ylang.
My favorite, mm-hmm. Ylang Ylang.
He mentions it to everyone. In fact, you can't go through a day without Sia saying the words Ylang Ylang.
Doesn't it just class you up a bit?
Hyacinth.
A who?
Gardenia.
Violet.
What's my...
Potpourri.
There's one that... Bouvardia.
Chrysanthemum. Yesterday, today, and tomorrow.
All right, enough.
Oh, is that what they're called? The correct term for them?
No, there's probably a much more scientific name.
I just know they must be today and tomorrow. Yeah.
All right. Well, listen, that's aren't you lucky that we before we carry on down a list of ridiculous horticultural names, we're going to call the show to a close. But I do have a really, really exciting interview with I think he's probably making more waves in the world of free speech and hate speech than anyone else. And he's helping us to determine the definitions of these things. His name is Mark Oppenheimer, and he's an advocate here in Johannesburg. He just recently was the counsel for the South African Human Rights Commission, who took Velapi Khumalo to court. Remember, Velapi Khumalo is the guy who said that all white people should be killed like Hitler killed the Jews. And obviously this is a revolting thing to say. It's a real clear-cut case of hate speech. And you'll hear the arguments for and against, and you'll hear Mark's take on the whole thing. And now that the judgment has come out, he's able to and free to talk about it. And if you're one of those people who's interested in what the difference is, because there are a lot of us who have been confused. There's a lot of gray areas. You're not sure.
Yeah, for
sure. Is it hate speech? Is it free speech? What am I allowed to say? What am I not allowed to say? How does our Constitution deal with this stuff? Well, Mark Oppenheimer will help you to figure that out. So all of that is on the way. Next on cliffcentral.com. Don't miss out on that. If you want to get hold of us at any time, gareth@cliffcentral.com is the email address. And you can also get hold of Sia or Leanne. Just type in their name and then @cliffcentral.com. It's very, very easy. All right. Thank you very much. We will see you tomorrow between 6 and 9. Don't miss the Mark Oppenheimer interview next and a lineup of really interesting stuff today, including Laws of Life with Gary Hertzberg.
cliffcentral.com.